All right. Good morning, everyone. This morning we will be in Joshua chapter 1 again as we continue our study here on courage. So let's start by reading our text that we started with last week in Joshua chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse 6 and we'll read down through verse 9. It says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to open your word this morning and to learn more about how you would want us to live. Lord, just guide our hearts, guide our thoughts this morning, and Lord, just help us to grow closer to you and be more obedient to you through your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, you know, this morning we're going to continue our lesson on how we should be courageous Christians. We looked at a quote last week that said, "Courage is not the absence of fear, but ignoring one's fear to do what is needed and what is right." You know, it's sometimes we face some tough things, and you know, we have to make that decision. You know, are we going to follow ourselves, or are we going to follow the Lord? And that takes courage sometimes. Takes courage a lot of times. You know, last week we brought up the question, you know, what, when you think of Western Christianity, what's one word that maybe describes it? Does anybody remember what we came up with? Comfortable. We here in the United States, and you know, it's very comfortable being a Christian a lot of times when you look in the light of how the rest of the world lives. And being comfortable can really be an enemy to having courage. You know, we need to make sure that we don't get so comfortable that we're not willing to step out and do those hard things that God wants us to. Last week we looked at some examples in God's word. We looked at Gideon. Remember Gideon? Had 10,000 soldiers lined up, but his problem was he was going against 135,000 Midianite soldiers. You know, that's not good odds. But we all know God changed those odds to down to where he only had 300 going against those 135,000. And you think, you know, what courage that took for Gideon to take that step of faith, or to go and to take those 300 men and go against those Midianites. We looked at David. You know, he was just a shepherd boy. Came, was bringing lunch to his brothers in the army, and he saw this giant defying the army of the Lord. All these, you know, he looked around and saw all these, you know, supposedly great warriors cowering from this giant. But David realized he knew who was in control, and he knew that you could trust the Lord. And he went on, and we all know the story. He took on that giant, not in his own strength, but in the name of the Lord, as he declared to Goliath himself. And then most of the last week, we looked at Joshua as he was arriving there at the promised land, and the courage it took for him to take those first steps. I'll be honest, and you know, Joshua is one of my favorite books of the Bible. It's a, to me, it's encouraging to see, you know, someone taking that step of faith and having success. You know, God gives us a lot of times the failures, and we need those to learn from them. But it's also very encouraging when we see the successes that God gives when people trust him and they follow him. And we saw last week that Joshua had courage because he trusted in God's promises that he had given him. And that promise that he gave him is wherever he set his foot in that land, God was going to give it to him. And Joshua took that challenge up. And, but we also saw that when God gives a promise, he requires action. He didn't just wait there. He had to take those steps and go into that land and put his foot there. And you know, we also saw that God gives us his promises as well. We heard the quote last week, with God's calling comes God's enabling. And we see that, we saw that in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. When God calls us to do something, he's going to give us what we need to do that. And that's where we can draw our courage from. And we also saw that he promises his power by the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel. We saw that in Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. He promises power there. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. He promised his Spirit to guide us and to lead us. And that's where we can draw courage from. He also promised that he's going to give us the provisions that we needed, that we need. We saw several verses, but we saw in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He gives us the grace and the sufficiency for the things that we need to do his work. That's another promise that he gives us in his word. And because of those promises, well, we can have courage, just like Joshua did, just like David did, just like Gideon did. And, you know, we think, you know, don't think we have to be, have some great power to be able to do this. You think about the people that we looked at there as examples. Do you remember the first time we saw Gideon in the Bible? What was he doing? He was hiding. He was hiding because he was scared. What was David? He was the youngest of brothers. He was a shepherd. And when you're in that age, if you're the youngest brother, you're nothing. But God used him. And you think of Joshua. When Joshua came out of Egypt, what was Joshua? He was a slave. You know, we don't need to have great positions to have courage. We just need to be willing to trust God and to trust in his promises. And this week, we're going to see another place where Joshua received courage even beyond God's promises. Let's go back. I want to read in our text, Joshua 1:9, the last verse there. It says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. So we see here in that verse that God gives Joshua a command. And that command is to be courageous, to have courage. And we know that Joshua followed that command. But he also gives him a promise in that verse. He promises that his presence is going to be with him. There we see the last part of the verse. It says, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And today we're going to look at how important it is to recognize God's presence in our life if we're going to have courage. And finding courage in God's presence was not something new. There was something new to Joshua. Let's do a little rewind. Let's go back 40 years from where we are. Right now we're in, Joshua's there. He's west of the, or east of the Jordan River, ready to cross over. But in 40 years earlier, let's see what happened then. And you see, it's one thing where we really see something really important in Joshua's life. You guys know the story when the Israelites finally get to the edge of the Promised Land. What do? They send in 12 spies in there to search out the land. And the spies come back, and 10 of those spies have one report, but two of the spies have another report. And the 10 spies, the majority of the group, comes back, and they're scared. They see what's in that land. They see giants. They see walled cities. And they come back and just say, we're like bugs to these people. We don't stand a chance. And that really stirs up the people to rebel against the Lord. And, you know, in Numbers chapter 14, I'm going to read some verses there in just a second, but we see there that, you know, the people respond to that fear in those 10 spies. Now, we know initially that Caleb stood up and told them, you know, there's lots here. We can take these people. You know, he was excited about going in. Caleb was the one that spoke up first there. But these other 10 swayed the people, and they became scared. And we see in Numbers 14, starting in verse 4, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. So the people here said, you know, let's get rid of Moses, let's pick somebody else, and let's go back. Why would they want to go back to slavery? But that's what fear will do to you. And we go on and see in the very next verse, we see who stands up. It says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. So we see here, this was Joshua and Caleb getting up and standing, telling the people, don't rebel against the Lord. God is with us. It says there in verse 9, it says, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. We see that courage in Joshua's life right there because he knew that God was with them. And he brought that, you know, to the people. So we see that Joshua and Caleb, they had the courage to enter the promised land. But because of the rest of the people there, they weren't able to do it at that time. They had to wait. But we also know that God honored Joshua and Caleb by allowing them to be the only, at least adults from that group, to be able to go into the promised land. God honored that courage 40 years later. And that's where we are now. Again, Joshua's there. He's on the east side of the Jordan River. He's facing, I believe it's 7 different nations that he's going to have to defeat. He's facing walled cities, just like they saw 40 years earlier. It was challenging. And even, they're standing there at this point, the Jordan River is even flooded. But Joshua knows what he has to do. And in Joshua 1, verse 5, God reminds him that he's with him. In Joshua 1, verse 5, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So here God promises Joshua, just like he was with Moses, that he's going to be with him as well. And there we see, you know, he faced this tremendous task of conquering Canaan. But in this verse here in verse 5, God gives him some fresh encouragement to remind him of that courage he had 40 years earlier and reminding him that he's still with him. And, you know, we need to remember that too, that the promise of the presence of God, you know, we have that promise as well. It means that God, he's always with us. We're never alone. And we don't ever need to fear that we're going to be outside his love and care. That, you know, we can draw from that same presence that Joshua did. You know, the greatest blessing that God gives us is not possessions, it's his presence, that he's with us all the time. So, you know, when we're walking closely with God, we can be victorious in the battles in our daily life, but it requires us to be walking closely with the Lord. So why is his presence so important? Well, first of all, we need it for his protection. You know, the fact that God never leaves us, it is a source of protection. You think about when the President of the United States, when he travels, he doesn't just go buy a ticket at Delta Airlines and fly over to some other foreign country. There's a lot involved when the President of the United States has to travel to another place. They send people ahead of time. They have to assess the different sites that he's going to be. They have to coordinate with the host country. They even do background checks on hotels and places where he's going to be. They make sure, one thing they have to make sure is the president is never more than 10 minutes away from a trauma hospital. They even ship over special vehicles. I don't know if you've heard of his limousine. It's called the Beast. It's this huge limo that could probably withstand a nuclear attack. We probably don't even know all that it can do. They monitor and control the airspace where he is. And that helps when you have the greatest air force in the world. But they make sure that everything is safe. And hundreds, it's not just a handful of people, hundreds of personnel go wherever the president is, whether it's sometimes anti-assault teams, communication people, even canines. They even take dogs, bomb-sniffing dogs, where the president travels. I remember years ago, I went to an event where the first George Bush was speaking, and it was at a college graduation, and we all had to go through metal detectors. You could see people with guns around the tops of the buildings. And when he arrived, there were three helicopters that arrived. All three of them were identical. So that way nobody knew which one the president was in. So they take all these precautions to protect the president, and they should. Our country should be taking care of our president like that. But to think, you know, all that goes on there, things can still go wrong. And it has in the past. But we have God watching over us. And that's so much better than all that the president has. So, you know, the thing is, in Proverbs 18:10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. So we have, he's that strong tower that we can go to for protection. But why do we need that protection? You know, I don't know if you realize this, but we're in a world now where everyone is not friendly to Christians, even in this country. And, you know, it takes courage to stand up for Jesus more than it did, say, 20, 30 years ago, or even longer than that. But when you do stand up for Jesus, you can't count on the world to cheer you on. They're not going to be there doing that. And we don't have to look hard on social media to see the hatred directed at those who share biblical values there in social media. I know several years ago there was this app that came out. It's called Nextdoor. And it's just an app that was designed for neighborhoods. So like somebody's missing a cat, you put it on there, lost my cat, and it's only supposed to be people in your area. And or maybe if you're looking for a plumber or you're looking for an electrician, somebody to help you. That's what it was designed for people in the community, just as like a community bulletin board. But this isn't something that you see that's like if you go on a Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or something, you see reactions from all over the world if you put something on there. But Nextdoor is local. It's just supposed to be people in this area. And I've seen people post things on there about just inviting people to church or or saying something about the Lord, and it's amazing how many people post hateful things about that. And that's here. That's not in New York. That's not in Los Angeles. That's not in Chicago. That's here in Landrum, in Columbus, in Tryon, in Inman, in Campobello. And, you know, we think it's far away, but it's not. There's so many people that are so against the things of the Lord that we need God's protection. We need his presence. We need to remember that he's there for us. We can't stand up against the world alone. We need to remember that he's there for us. Joshua, he had seen Moses' dependence on God throughout his life up to this point. And even to the point where Moses said, if God wasn't going to be with him, Moses said, I don't want to go if you're not with me. In Exodus chapter 33, we see the situation there. It's right after, remember when Moses came down off of the mountain? God had given him the tablets, and he came down, and the Israelites had made the golden calf. And God was ready to, he sees in his word there that he was ready just to strike them down. But Moses prayed for him. He says he built a tabernacle outside of the camp. This is not the tabernacle yet. It was still yet to come. But so he could go out and pray and seek God for help. And Exodus 33, verse 13, it says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. So right before this, God basically told him, it's like, I'll just send my angel. You guys, you can go up to the promised land, but I'm not going with you. Moses is saying, no, if you're not going with me, I don't want to go. And if you look in the verses before this, you see that Joshua stayed in that tabernacle with Moses. So he was there. He heard this. He saw that Moses, how much he needed the presence of the Lord. And that had a huge impact on his life. So, now Joshua is at the point now where he needs to rely on the presence of the Lord as well. As he prepares to go in to this nation, God's told him that he'd be able to defeat whoever he came against as he goes into this land, because God's power and presence would be with him. But let's pause a second and look forward a little bit to hear. When Joshua went into the promised land, did he win every battle? No, he did not. God conquered Jericho there. But the very next battle, they went up against the city of Ai, and what happened? They were defeated by this little city after they had just had this big victory. So what happened there? Was God present with him at Ai? God was there. As we know, God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. But they had not followed God's direction or God's will in that. They chose to go off and do things on their own there. Think about a child. Sometimes when you're in a dangerous place with your child, what do? You keep a close eye on your child. But sometimes they wander off and they get into danger. And that's what the Israelites did. God was there. He knew what was going on. But they went on to do something before God was ready for them to do it. And they had to deal with sin first before they went forward. And we see that when we get out of God's will, we've looked at this before in previous Sunday school lessons, that he's going to correct his children. And maybe it felt like God wasn't with them, but God had to do some things to bring them back into line so that they were following him. Yes, God was there, But sometimes he has to allow some things to happen to help us understand that we're not going in the right direction. But when they got back to following God's direction, that's when they had victory. There was a story one time. Well, let me back up a little bit. We see here that we need his to have courage. We need to realize that with his presence that we have his protection. We also need to have, because of his presence, we can have courage. So, you know, when we face trials and challenges of life, we're going to find that there's times where we don't have the answer. There's going to be times where we don't know what we're supposed to do. And, you know, it's not uncommon for us to be afraid during those times. But we must not let those fears deter us from trusting the Lord and doing what is right. You know, just because we don't understand something that God wants us to do, we still need to step out and we need to do it. There's a quote by Franklin Roosevelt. No matter what you think about his politics or whatever, God put Franklin Roosevelt in charge of the United States of America in one of the most challenging times in our history. It was a time during the Great Depression. It was a time during World War II. He was there during the bombing of Pearl Harbor. He had to face a lot of fear in this country. And something he said is, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something else is more important than fear. Now, that's something we need to assess, too, that there is something more important than fear, and that's trusting the Lord and trusting his presence. Now, that may not be what Franklin Roosevelt was referring to, but as Bible-believing Christians, we know that we need to understand that there are things more important than fear, and that's being obedient to the Lord. There was a story, it says, a little boy was afraid of the dark and storms. One night during a thunderstorm, his mother asked him to fetch the broom from the porch. When he tried to turn on the light, he found it was burnt out. Scared by the darkness and the storm, he ran back inside. His mom assured him, "God is with you even in the storm." With mom's assurance, the boy gathered his courage and approached the door. But as lightning flashed and thunder roared, he froze. Eyes wide, he called out, "God, if you're out there, could you please hand me the broom?" Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes things are very scary. But God sent what we need to remember is that God's there for us. So much so that he sent his own son to earth to rescue us from sin. When you remember that we have a God that was willing to do that, how much more is he going to be willing to be there for us when we need him? In Romans 8, 31 and 32, it says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" So on those days when our battles are the toughest, that's when we need to turn to the Lord the most. And remember that the one we're turning to was willing to let his own son die for us, and that we can truly trust in him. So when Joshua when he was looking at these, he was facing what probably looked like impossible challenges, but Joshua knew God was there with him. He had an encounter with someone there at the walls of Jericho. This first encounter, it assured him that God was there with him. We see this in Joshua chapter 5 in verse 13 and verses 13 through 15. It says, "It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, 'Art thou for us or for our adversaries?' And he said, 'Nay, But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. This is actually the Lord coming to Joshua. And Joshua, what does Joshua call out to him? Are you with us? But what's his reply? No, I'm not with you. But as captain of the host, am I now come? He's saying, I'm not with you. I've come to lead you. And, you know, we need to remember that God's not on our side. We're on his side. And we're following him. And, you know, think, you know, what an encouragement that was for Joshua. And, you know, it takes us back. You know, we saw there the last part. He told him to loose thy shoe off from thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. We see something very similar to that in Exodus 3 with Moses. When he saw the burning bush there, it says, And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. We see there he told Moses the same thing about taking off his shoes because you're on holy ground. And when he's telling him to take off his shoes there, that's a sign of humility and submission to God. And Joshua knows that for him to be successful, he needs to be completely submitted to God. And we can experience that power of God's presence in our lives as well when we surrender to him. Because no spiritual victory is possible without God's presence. We think we can do things on our own, but without God's presence and God's power, we have no chance. In Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, it says, Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Someone once said, The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Sometimes we have to do some, if we're going to have courage for the Lord, we might have to go through some very serious circumstances. And does that mean that nothing is ever going to happen to us? No, we may face pain, we may face struggles, whatever. Some examples, what about Joseph? Joseph was sold as a slave. He was falsely accused, thrown in prison. Think about Paul. He was beaten, stoned, jailed. Ultimately, he was executed. Think about Stephen, preaching the gospel, and he was stoned to death. But, was God with these people? Yes, he was. He was holding their hand through all of these tough situations. In Romans 8:18, it says, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yes, we're going to have some things that are very hard to go through on this earth, but none of it's going to compare to someday when we're in glory and with him. So, there's a story about, I don't know if you ever heard of William Tyndale. He lived in the late 15th and early 16th century. He dedicated his life to translating the Bible into English, a task that he worked on while constantly fleeing hostile authorities. After completing his translation of the New Testament, he worked to have it printed and smuggled into England. But the people in the church, the Catholic Church at that time in England, did not want the people to have God's word. The British government tried to do everything they could to thwart that. They would even go and buy all the copies that were coming into England, and they would burn them. But you know what? That didn't discourage William Tyndale. Because they were buying so many, that actually financed a better translation for him to go and to do it even more. And you know, was able to, he realized that this was an unexpected blessing as the proceeds from the government sales funded an even better translation. And he continued his work until he was martyred in 1536. You know, his efforts, they bore fruit, everlasting fruit, because a lot of his translations were some of the foundational translations used when the King James Version was made. So, yes, he was martyred, but he knew that God was with him through all that, and God held him through those tough times at the end. So there, just one last thing to cover there. You know, we don't always know, when we're following God closely, we don't always know what path he's going to take us on. Think about the Israelites. When they left Egypt, they didn't take a direct route to the promised land. Why was that? In Exodus 13, it says, "It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." So we see there that God did not take them on a direct route to the promised land. Why? Because they weren't ready. He had things that they needed to learn, that they needed to be taught. And you know, sometimes we don't understand the path that God takes us on. But we need to stay close to him and follow it, because he knows better than we do. And to have the courage that we need, we have to remember that God is with us, and we need to stay close to him and his guiding light, which is the word of God. And we're going to go ahead and stop here now, but next week, that's going to be the last part of this lesson of what we need to have courage. We need his promises, his presence. And next week, we're going to look at his precepts and how important it is to follow his word. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. And Lord, we thank you for the examples you've given us in your word of people that have trusted you and had the courage that we need to have. I pray, Lord, that we would trust your presence, Lord, that we would live like you're with us every day because you are, and that we would live as close to you as we possibly can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.